in a little bit of a different lesson. I mean, you get what you get when you start going through a book. You got to take what the Lord has written down. So we're in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 2. We'll be looking at starting in verse 12 there in just a minute and talking about what's going on in that period of time. Okay, go ahead, Danny, get us started.
Such a privilege to be in church. We thank God for his blessings to us. And it's good to see our pastor back this morning. We've missed him, but he's had a good trip, I understand. So it'll be nice to hear his reports and everything. So we'll get started. We've got a lot of things happening today. We have three missionaries. Excuse me. Ethan and Brittany Prater from the Dominican Republic, and Stephen and Bethany Dice from Carmel, Illinois, and Jordan and Celeste Gasway from New Delhi, India. So we're glad to have them this morning. I got to hear a little bit from Mr. Gasway and the early service, so I know you'll enjoy that. That's coming up. So other items, I'm going to go ahead and let's see. I'll remind you that on Tuesday, October 3rd, this week, we'll have the Oasis Potluck here at 11:30 a.m. in the Family Life Center. And then on Wednesday, we're going to have Rickson Killing from Pompeii, Micronesia. So be looking forward to Wednesday night also. And then next Saturday morning is our outreach breakfast and visitation. So y'all can remember that. The rest of the things in the bulletin you can read, and we'll go ahead and talk about our prayer request. We have Kim Brummett that we need to continue to pray for. She has some things that she has to do. And so just keep her in your hearts and minds as you pray. And then we still have Miss Huskins that we're praying for that is dealing with some issues beyond her hip replacement. And we're still praying for Pat Shaw. Pat and Randy Scalf, and it's good to have Mr. What do you want me to call you? Better? You want me to call you Better? He's better today. Carl Bond had his surgery, and he's doing well. He says he's a little weak, but he'll get that strength back in time, and we're glad to have him back with us today. And there's others that are still on our list, from cancer to having other issues that they're dealing with. So let's remember them in prayer. Yes, Miss Nancy. Okay, so remember Miss Cole in her treatment for this chemo treatment for her cancer, and those ladies, they really got a busy schedule trying to keep all of that up. So just keep them in prayer. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay, let's remember her brother, Scott, and he has this throat cancer he's dealing with, so let's remember him in prayer. And we are glad to have visitors with us this morning from Florida. Now, I've done forgot your name. I'm like that. I can forget something that happened 3 minutes ago, but I remember a long time ago pretty good. And do you want to just introduce yourself? Amen. So good to have you stop by this morning. Your wife said that y'all were on your way to your ministry up in Pennsylvania, I believe. So good to have you with us. Okay. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll let Brother Steve get on with the lesson. And again, it's good to see you here, and we thank the Lord for his goodness to us. Father, we thank you this morning that you are a God, Lord, that is mindful of us. And Lord, we don't deserve that, but Lord, you take care of us, you watch over us, and you bless us, Lord, in spite of ourselves. And we would thank you today, Lord, also for these missionaries that have been able to come our way. And God, that you would bless each and every one. And Lord, that you would give them safety as they travel here in the States before they go back to the field. And God, we're just so thankful this morning that our pastor is back. He's had a good week in the UK, and Lord, we just thank you that Levi and Brittany were able to show him around over there, and that he was able to see other missionaries and do quite a bit of preaching. So Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for giving him safety as they traveled and brought him back to us. Bless this day, we pray. We pray for each one of these prayer requests, God. And Lord, you know all about them. And Lord, it's mind-boggling when we think about before you even created this world, you knew, dear God, that these things would happen. And Lord, from the beginning all the way to eternity, Lord, in the future, you know all. And God, you take care of all. And we just give you glory and thank you for it. Now bless the service today. And Lord, maybe somebody today that may have come our way, they may not know you. Maybe someone here has things that they're praying about. Maybe they're unsure. God, give them peace. I pray that you'll just bless this service today. And may we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, can we continue on? And we've been studying Samuel, 1 Samuel, and we're going to look at the whole chapter over the next few months. In today's lesson talks about the wickedness of Eli's sons. To glean something out of this for application, we always want to look at application. Most of us have raised our children, and our children are raising our grandchildren. And we can look back when I have to look back at my life, and you can look back at yours. And we started going to church when our babies were just babies, just newborns and whatnot. Started going faithfully, let's just say it that way, after the service. And We raised our children in the church. We raised them to know God as soon as they were old enough to understand. And from that, God honored that. You know, we were just, back in those days, young and didn't know enough to know, as the old Creek boys say. And we started going to a little independent Baptist church. We'd both been raised up into a bigger church there in our little town. And after the service, I came back, and the church that I got saved in was an American Baptist, Southern Baptist type of church. And while I was in the service, it split and went into an independent Baptist church. And then that church still remains today, both the churches that divided out of that original old church. So we started going to an independent fundamental church, just like this one, much smaller, probably a quarter the size of this, in West Virginia. And we raised our babies there. We dove into working there, teaching Sunday school, teaching little kids. And as our children grew, we grew with the ministry, as most people do if they're in the ministry. Ended up owning my own business, so I had time to do things, my own engineering firm. Ended up, the pastor tapped me on the shoulder eventually to be the youth leader. Grew that from 6 or 8 teenagers up to 40 teenagers. And God did all that. Well, as that was growing, our children was growing. Growing in the knowledge of the Lord. Getting grounded, being saved as young kids. The pastor was with Levi this past week. Levi got saved when he was 4 years old. Some people say that that was too young, but he became a very understanding young man of the gospel at that age. And we did not deny him of that. We helped him grow in that. Within a year or so, he wanted to be baptized, understood what that was about. Kids understand more than you think. So as we here as grandparents today and have children that have children, I think the application of this lesson is to make us understand that our children needs to raise our grandbabies, and in some cases, great-grandbabies, in a church that teaches God's Word, that they don't grow up as this world is moving towards a godly absence in their life. Because we see these two men here, even though they were sons of the priest at Shiloh there, apparently these young men didn't get, they were playing church, I'll say it that way. And I think we can look at the world today and many churches that we know that are having entertainment more than they're having church. And with that, we have a generation that's getting left behind as far as godly matters. Because at this time, the verses say that the nation of Israel knew not the Lord. We're coming out of the judges, coming into Samuel being one of the last judges, going to a monarchy, and supposedly the monarchy, the man that they chose, is supposed to trust God to lead the country. Well, we're just men at best, and men that are godly men sometimes can fail. And I think we all hear of churches and preachers that fail, that fall into sin. And then their children may fall into sin. I mean, we can all hear those stories, but we all here in this church, we need to seek application of this lesson to not let our families be that generation that knows not the Lord. Because we have a great country here that is trending that way. Talking to Levi in England trended this way 40 or 50 years ago, after World War II, the church in England, people drifted away from that organization and knew not small churches. And that's why today there's so many empty buildings in that country, in the United Kingdom. And there's always somebody wanting to give them a building there in England. I mean, we need young men as fast as we can send them to England and the United Kingdom, because there's all kinds of opportunities where there's been two or three generations that know not the Lord there. And now introducing that through a fundamental independent church in that country, people's eyes are being opened to the true gospel, not some organized state religion. And that's going on in Europe and everywhere else in the world, in some of these third world countries. But Levi and I were talking the other day, he feels like that this country is going down that path where we're going to have generations that knows not the Lord. And we may already have that in some situations. So it's no new thing. The devil doesn't play anything new. He plays the same old song over and over and over. And here we see this situation with Eli. Now, we talked about Hannah and God answered her prayer and she had a son, and we know that she gave the son to the ministry full time and honored God's promise to give her a son, and she would give it back. Of course, we know after this she had sons and daughters, and God blessed her for that. But we look at, let me put my glasses on. There's a lot here that we could read. And let me get back here to where we're at. In verse 12 in chapter 2, the evil sons of Eli is what this King James Version, Old Scofield says. And it says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Now, how in the world does that happen living in a preacher's house? Now, your families, your children and your grandchildren, you leave the door open, the devil's going to come in. Here they are working in the tabernacle, and it says they're sons of Belial, sinners, sons of the devil, not to be trusted. So all kinds of meanings to that word. So can we say, as people talk about hypocrites? I mean, they looked good. They knew about God. See, they know about Him. But did they know Him personally? See, that's what we got going on today. If you go door knocking and talk to people, and they say, oh yeah, I know about God. Oh yeah, I'll go to church occasionally. But did they know Him personally? See, if we're gonna get anywhere in this generation, we're gonna have to get back to where we get people saved and understand that they need the Lord and tell them why they need the Lord and not circumvent and not cover it with sugar and say, if you don't trust God, you're going to go to hell forever and be separated from God. Kids need to know that. And they come to that understanding early, so don't be afraid to confront a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, or 12 or 13. They are already, I mean, you look at the school system, some of these children are a mess. Talk to teachers or principals. It's out of hand. So we have a generation here of our own that some of these kids may that come to this church, and I don't think there is, because we've got a bunch of good teens here. But there could be. You can't tell by looking at them. Because these guys looked like they wore the robes, they wore the clothes. We've got kids that dress nice and have the suits and sit up here in the choir. And girls that dress nice and look right, act right. And I think the parents has asked all these kids, do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ? Do you know when you did that? And understand that. Because a lot of times, just like Levi, when he understood enough at 4 years old to get saved, we groom that. You got to be smart against the devil. Because he will take your children. He took these two young men right out from under the priest's nose. If he can do that, he can much more do that to us as just regular old folks that have young'uns. we have to be smart when we get into this. Raising children and making sure. Raising children don't just make sure they're, that, you know, they don't say bad words and they don't use, we call them bathroom words and all that along the way. You got, I've told you about those golden moments in children's lives. You got to glean those golden moments when their hearts are soft. At bedtime, a lot of times the little fellers are soft at that point, and we do the prayer thing and all that. And eventually you just got to get to the point, say, Jesus died for you, when they understand it. And then you build on that if they're really young. So they knew about God, but they didn't know him personally. How many people do you know that know about God and don't know him personally? That's part of the problem with the society today. And this, and Eli, being the head priest, was not only connected to God and supposed to have been running the tabernacle in the right way, he was the spiritual leader of the country at the time. He was more, he was the priest, but he was the politician also. Well, look what a mess our politics are. Ungodly decisions that's being made for all the stuff that we know that is not right. Abortion and all the other things, the crazy stuff that's spelled out in the Bible that it's not right. But we all have these politicians that are all dressed well and look great and act right and can talk on the radio or the TV, but do they know God? I have to say no on most of them, because what they're voting for, look at what your person is voting for. Look at what they're for before you vote for them. Because they're not helping this next generation. This guy wasn't helping the next generation by having these young men be involved in the church. They were lovers of their own self. It goes on down there in this part, in this part of the verses, plumb down to 17, explaining what they were doing. They were taking the meat. They were forcing people to give them the fresh meat. And even got to the point to where they were telling people that people knew what they were doing and said, well, if you don't give it to me, I'm going to force you to do it. I mean, it got really ugly with these guys. And you can read that on your own there. Talks about the meat, talks about sacrifices and what these young men were doing. It says there in verse 16, says, and then it says, if they say nay, but thou shalt give it to me now. And if not, I will take it by force. Spoilt brats. Give it to me now. It's a now. I want it now. I want all the stuff that mom and dad has. I want it now. Well, what happened to work ethics? Give it to me now. I tell you what, we got a generation that's a mess. So they took what they wanted. They were greedy. They were sons of Belial, and their dad didn't do anything. That's the really worst part about it. These young men were grown up enough to do this, and they apparently Eli did not properly train them in the things of God. Didn't tell them what was right and wrong. They just did what they thought was right. Did what they wanted. I mean, if we let sin take over our lives, I mean, we are lovers of our own self. We get selfish. That's easy to do. I mean, I can do that. We can all do these. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Well, some of these basic, I want young people to come up and look me in the eye and shake my hand and talk to me. How many of them just don't do that? I was always taught to open the doors for the ladies, take my hat off when I come in. Say yes, sir, and no, sir. Is that even being taught anymore? Much less what about God? Folks, and if we don't pass this on, who is? If we don't tell our children, are you doing this or that? Check on them. Check on the grandchildren. Say, hey, you been going to church? Are you going to church? Was you at church? Have you been to church? And get down to the point and say, are you saved? You know, you remember a time you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what should have been done here. But these two sons, they were just playing at church. They were just being big Ikes. Look at me. Look at who I am. And they sinned directly against the Lord. It couldn't have been a worse sin than happened with these people. They were immoral. They were seducing women at the church. And haven't we heard about that in the last 20 years in the world? I'm telling you, there's this thing parallels today in what's going on in society. I mean, you, here we are plumb back in the Old Testament. I mean, a lot of people say, well, the Old Testament don't speak to us today. This speaks loud to me. I mean, loud about what's going on today in this world and in our society. Eli, the ineffective father of these two sons, he failed in his own spiritual life. God quit using him because of this. And later on, we see from this sin, the two boys end up getting killed in battle. Then Eli fell off his chair when he heard that and he died. God's not slack in chastisement. It can happen to us just as easy as it did him. I still feel so responsible. Praise the Lord for my children. I can't keep from. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you. I stayed in church. I went to church when the doors was open, and went to church, and went to church, and went to church. And knew not a whole lot back then, but just I was going to go, and my family was going to go. I was not going to be part of that crowd that played church. I decided if I was going to do it, I was going to be part of the ministry and dive in and do my part for God. God honored that. I can tell you right now, I didn't know enough to know. And I ain't taking any credit for it. But I'm telling you, my young'uns, God blessed my young'uns for being steady on. And now they're all in church teaching Sunday school, being part of a Sunday school. Levi, one of my sons, being a missionary in England. How much more blessed could I get? Just as bad as Eli was going to get it, God has blessed my children and me. I am so blessed. And you know it, some of you know it. That these kind of things, these blessings, no money can buy. It's from God. It's a gift that we have, good children and good grandchildren. And now I'm seeing my grandchildren from my children. See, what a blessing that is. Not only did my daughter, which is Katie, you know her here, and Shannon, which we prayed for a mate, and Shannon showed up. And y'all know Shannon, he's over there teaching Sunday school class right now. He and I got to go to Bible school at Crown for 2 years together. What a blessing that was. And now I see him sitting here in the choir, and I see Noah sitting beside him, and soon will be Bailey when she gets a little older. What a blessing that is. That thrills my soul. That's a gift from God. But the failure of Eli, the lack of spiritual discernment, you know, that it showed up when he looked at Hannah. He didn't have any idea. He thought she was a drunk. He couldn't even discern that she was there praying. I mean, you know, when you see somebody here at the altar praying, would you say they're a drunk? How stupid is that? I mean, the man had no discernment. God had done left him to his own thing by that time. It's a wonder he took Samuel in, and God touched Samuel early, and he was a young man responsible, not for a lot. He was lighting candles and doing this and that in the tabernacle and taking care of things for him. And God come to him and woke him up and said, and he thought Eli was calling on him. We'll talk about that probably next week. You know, and God was getting ready to use this man to take over this position, Samuel. And what an impact he had on the nation of Israel. The lack of spiritual sensitivity. Are we sensitive enough? Are we always got our antennas up? And looking and searching and thinking all the time and bouncing things off spiritual decisions or what God says about this particular situation. We have to bounce things all the time off of God's word and what he says and what we know he wants. We just can't go through life numb. That's what's happened. We've got a generation or two now that's a mess because we're just neglecting. We're neglecting fellowship with the Lord. Do we pray? Do we read his word and look at it as precious to us? God didn't speak to Eli because he was not an instrument whom he could use or speak to. He was already too far gone. God reveals himself to us. Those who obey, those who honor God's word, those who come to church and are not just sitting here because it's where you should be, but you're sitting here to get something. God reveals himself and makes himself real to those who want to. If you want it, you've got to want it. We can all just sit here and just, oh, this is a nice crowd, good friends, people I know. Folks, we got to look at the preacher and what he's preaching, and it's God's word that he has given us. God's using this man to speak to us, and we can't let that go by. We just can't sit here and be numb. Because he failed to teach his sons because he got away from communication with God. It's so easy to do, folks. It don't take very long to just get away and be lax and disciplined with ourselves with God. And then we become lax and disciplined with our children and our grandchildren. It just flows right downhill. And that's exactly what happened to Eli here. So as we look at and wrap this lesson up, we want to look, let me go forward. I've got 10 or 12 pages of stuff here. Let's look at sin just a little bit, what it talks about. Even in Romans, it's easy. Go back to the New Testament, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's 6:23. 7:7 says, what shall I say then if the law of sin, God forbid, nay, I had not known sin but by the law. See, the law woke up mankind to what sin does in your life. So we have all these verses, Romans 7, 8, 7, 9, 7, 11. If you look in all them verses there, it's talking about sin, Romans 7, 14. And on and on and on there in Romans in chapter 7 talks a lot about sin and how it affects your life. And how if we let that go, it overflows into our families. So God was going to judge Eli and his sons. It was coming. Anyway, we look now that how it was connected to the downfall of the nation of Israel. Not only did Eli being the priest at Shiloh, but like I told you, he was a man of political importance. It affected the whole country. The whole nation at that time fell to its knees. The Philistines were allowed to come in, and there was war going on all the time. The sin of Eli and his sons had a profound effect on the nation. Leadership involved in sin affected the nation. Is that what we have today in our nation? I you know, we can't say for sure, but it sure looks that way. So we see at the end of this, we see Samuel being spoke to by God. And we're going to talk about that next week. The fall of this priesthood, and then Samuel, the godly son of Hannah, becomes a minister, becomes the next man on the scene. So we see that he had small things to do, but all of a sudden he had a lot on him and who he's supposed to be and what he was going to do. And he trusted God and listened to God. And we see because of these priests not listening to God, they fell away into sin, and the nation fell away too. So let's apply this to our families. Let's don't give up. Let's push on for God and hold our families accountable, hold our grandchildren accountable, and hold others accountable, and go forward for the cause of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and grace toward us. Thank you for your salvation and that shed blood on the cross, Lord. Thank you so much for that. Lord, just give us a good day here in church. Help our pastor to bring a good message today that'll speak to people's hearts, souls be saved. God, we thank you for this lesson. Help us to be strong in your word. Help us to be doers of the word. Help us to lead our families in the right way. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you all.